Matthew chapter 20, look with me in verse 29. The Bible said, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still." Boy, ain't that a good thing. "And called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, help us now. While we might preach for just a little while, we certainly need a touch from heaven. We certainly just need anointing afresh tonight. And I pray you'd come by and help us. Might you be honored in this message. Save somebody. Help somebody tonight. And help us while we might preach. And we'll give you the glory for it all. For this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I looked at this passage, I was thought about what it said right here in verse 30. It talks about when they heard that Jesus passed by. And we've sung over the years about Jesus passing by. Primitive Quartet sings a song, "When Jesus passed by, the dead would arise. And when Jesus passed by, the blind would open their eyes." And we see that very thing happen right here. And I just want to preach tonight having a thought of when Jesus passes by. And I'm glad that he still passes by. I'm glad it's not a figment of my imagination. I'm glad he's real tonight and the Holy Spirit still comes by. Can I say real quickly by way of introduction tonight before we preach that the Lord's always got a point when he's passing by. What I mean by that is he's always got a reason to go where he's going. The Bible talks about in John chapter 4, it said that he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. If you know what John 4 is about, it's about that woman at the well that he met at Jacob's well, and it was no accident that he passed by her way. We see the thought of him passing by in Scripture. We find the principle of him passing by in Scripture, but I believe it is four times in the four Gospels that we find that it says he actually passed by. Another time you'll find that he passes by a blind man, I believe it is, that had been blind from birth, and it talks about him passing by. But right here we find he passes by this. But these couple of blind men, by the way, I believe that if we go to Mark chapter 10, take your Bible and go there and then we'll get started. But look with me in Mark chapter 10. Now here in the book of Matthew, you find two men that were blind. But in Mark chapter 10, we find a man by the name of Bartimaeus. And I really believe that this is the same story. Because it talks about him, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And so we find the same thing that in Mark chapter 10, look in verse 46. And the Bible said, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. It becomes a little more personal here in Mark chapter 10 in comparison to Matthew chapter 20. But I believe they're the same story. You say, well, there was two men in Matthew 20. Yeah, there was also two men, according to the book of Matthew, that met Jesus in the Gadareans over there. But yet Mark, only in Mark chapter 5, only records one by the name of Legion that met him there that day. And so we find that it become personal in Mark chapter 4. But nonetheless, whether you believe it's the same story or not, Jesus passed by. And three things I want to look tonight about when Jesus passes by. Number one, we find that compassion was found. If you look in verse 34 of the text chapter, he said, so Jesus had compassion on them. You remember when Jesus passed by your way the night that you needed to get saved. Listen, we find blindness is a great type, and that of being lost in the Bible. They couldn't do nothing for themselves. They couldn't help themselves. They couldn't see their own need. But yet Jesus passed by and had compassion on them. Let me say tonight, when Christ Jesus the Lord come by the night that I got saved, great compassion was had. He seen me in my lost condition and was willing to save me there that night. I want you to notice when the Lord passed by, first of all, they heard that it was Him. They knew something about Jesus, didn't they? Why? Because they began to cry out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, there's a lot of people out here in this world trying to get some help, and the only help they're going to get is when somebody tells them that Jesus can save them and forgive them of their sin and fill that void that is on the inside. Somebody's got to tell them about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they knew something about Jesus. I don't know who told them. I don't know who cued them in. I don't know who. I said, let me tell you about this feller that's going around. And if you ever get to meet him, I tell him you want to see and he can heal you. Well, I'm telling you, I remember the night that Jesus passed by my way and I knew there was something wrong with me. I knew I was lost and I needed a Savior. And He come by where I was. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't fix myself. But praise be unto God. All I had to do was cry out, Jesus, Jesus, will you save me? Thank God tonight He'll do it. If folk will cry out to Him. When Jesus passes by, somebody had to tell them about Jesus. But then somebody had to tell them that Jesus was coming by. See, they had a little knowledge about who He was and His capability, but until they come to Him and got in front of Him, He wasn't going to do them no good. And so somebody had to reach down there and tell them, hey, Jesus is coming by. Ain't you glad the day or the night that the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and told you that Jesus was passing by? I like that old song that we sing out of the Redback book for a invitational hymn sometimes, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And I remember my pastor used to say, he'd say, boy, I love that song because if he's dealing with others, I want him to deal with me and I agree with him. Listen, when God's moving, I don't want him to miss me when he's coming by. Amen. Elijah, when he was in that cave, saw the fire, seen the earthquake or felt the earthquake, seen the whirlwind rent the rocks into pieces, but it was yet when that small, still small voice began to speak that he began to listen. The Lord does not move by exactly like He did in this day in blind Bartimaeus' day, but He still comes by. When did you hear the gospel? I was raised in church all my life. Heard the gospel from the time that I was a little bitty feller to the time that I could hear and comprehend and understand. I had Sunday school teachers teach it to me. I had preachers preach it to me. But there come a night or a day when Jesus called out. When He was passing by. Listen to me now. Do you remember that day or that night when He passed by? So the Bible said that when they heard that Jesus passed by, I want you to look what they cried out, "Have mercy on us. O Lord, Thou Son of David." You notice the first thing they asked for was mercy. Well, there wasn't none of us could save ourselves, was there? Boy, I'm telling you, if it was left up to me, I'd have messed it up just as sure as the world. I'd foul it up. If I was doing the keeping tonight, I'd lose it for sure, but it's in Him. I'm often reminded of John chapter 10 where it talks about that we're in His hand. No man can pluck us out of His hand, and no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. He said, "I and my Father are one," and we're kept in Him tonight. But when Jesus passed by, sinners cried out for mercy. Well, I love it when He comes by and folk can get saved. Out of all the things that these men could ask for, I thought about this. They did not ask for silver. They did not ask for gold. But they asked for mercy. They knew that He could extend mercy and do something for them that nobody else could do. You realize if you're saved tonight that when Jesus came by, He done something for you that nobody else can do tonight. I love the Lord tonight. They knew He was not like anybody else. As a matter of fact, they knew that He was the Lord. They said, "O Lord, Thou Son of David." They knew and they signified and they spoke and acknowledged that He was the one that the Old Testament prophets prophesied of. They acknowledged that when they called Him the Son of David, that He was the one that God said would come. And that's what they acknowledged. You notice the ones that the Lord always helped was the ones that could not help themselves. You understand that tonight. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He said, "I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And that was all of us tonight. But somebody had to tell them, "Here comes Jesus." Or somebody had to tell them what Jesus could do for them, and then somebody had to tell them, "Hey, He's coming by." And can I tell you tonight, they knew their condition that they were in. I always found this portion of the Scripture, I don't want to use the word funny but or disturbing, ever how you want to look at it tonight, not funny, ha-ha, but funny in the fact of what they done, that in verse 31 it said, "In the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace." Why? The man that could help them was passing by. I wouldn't want to hinder anybody that wants to come to Jesus tonight. I wouldn't want to hold them up from coming to Him tonight. I wouldn't want to do it. These young ones want to come and get saved. I'm not going to tell them they're too little to get saved. I'm not going to tell them they're too young to get saved. Listen, if they can realize that they're lost and need a Savior, and they can believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection, and trust Jesus to save them, He'll save them tonight. I've just determined years ago that if they don't get it, then God will work it out. I don't worry about it. I don't worry about it at all. But the crowd did not want them to cry out. And I always love what it said right here, but they cried the more. The more the crowd said, "Be quiet," the louder they got. I mean, their one and only hope was passing by. And if they didn't do something, they were going to be blind the rest of their life. Well, I'm telling you, when God comes by, knocks on your heart, that's time to move, ain't it? I'm glad he passes by tonight. But I want you to notice what the Bible said. As Jesus stood still after they cried the more, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called him, "And what wilt ye that I should do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And then it said, so Jesus had compassion on them. You know what the word compassion literally really means? He looked at them and seen them for their situation and decided to help them. When the good Samaritan seen the man that had left Jerusalem going to Jericho, and the priest and the Levite come by and looked at him and went by on the other side. But when the Bible talks about the good Samaritan seeing him, the next thing it said that he had compassion on him. In other words, he looked at him and put himself in his place. If you could save somebody tonight, wouldn't you do it? If somebody was in trouble and dying and falling off a cliff and you could reach down and get them, would you not do that tonight? Would you not have compassion on them? Because if you were in their position, you would want somebody to do that for you. I believe Jesus looked at these two blind men, and when he seen them, he had compassion on them, and he felt their hurt and their pain and healed them. And touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. You know, when you get saved, you follow Jesus, don't you? He makes a difference in your life. These old boys had a difference made in their life, didn't they? They were blind, but now they see. I'd call that a pretty big difference, wouldn't you? Instead of feeling their way around, having somebody lead them around, they can see. Well, when you get saved, that's how it works, ain't it? You can't see until you get saved. He passes by and compassion is found in salvation. Take your Bible tonight and go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Look in verse 13. Mark chapter 2 and verse 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And he passed by. There it is again. He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. You can go back to the book of Matthew, I believe it is, in Matthew chapter 9 or in Luke chapter 5. But I believe in Matthew chapter 9, you'll find out that Levi is Matthew. You'll find that he was a publican. He was sitting at the receipt of custom. And he was, you know what he was? He was a tax collector. And that for the Romans. And so as Jesus was coming, as a matter of fact, if you look where he'd been, he'd already healed a man prior to that. As he took up his bed, they said, verse 12, "We've never seen it on this fashion, saw it on this fashion." And as he goes forward, it says that, "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me." There's not only compassion found when Jesus passes by, but there is a call to follow when Jesus passes by. You find right here that first of all, he had to make a difference in Matthew's life. I mean, no doubt this man trusted Christ. No doubt he put his faith in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God made him new." But what were these men called? There were 11 more besides Matthew or Levi. What were they called? They were called disciples, wasn't they? You know what the word disciple means? It means a follower or a learner. See, Jesus passes by and saved you, but then there comes a day that he passes by and he begins to instruct you and for you to follow. As we grow, you know, I can remember that I got saved at 14. I was preaching at 15, but it was really in my early 20s when I began to study and seek the Lord. When I really began to look into this book, to let it make a difference in my life. I mean, I'm not proud of that by no means. Man, I'd read my Bible, don't misunderstand me, but I'm talking about when you fall in love with this book and let it make a difference in your life. He follows, he passes by and he called him to follow. He said, I want you to follow me. I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to Luke chapter 14. Everybody wants to be a disciple of the Lord. Or we want to wire that name disciple. But if you look in Luke chapter 14 and look in verse 26. Well, let's back up in verse 25. Luke chapter 14 verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He explains, let me say this, verses 26 is explained in verse 33. When he talks about hating your father and your mother and your wife and your children, brethren, sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Do I think God wants you to hate him as in to have malice and anger and all that? No, that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about at all. But he's saying if you're going to be my disciple, then you have to forsake all. What they would desire for your life or to spend. You remember when Elijah come by and cast his mantle upon Elisha. You remember what he was doing? He was plowing, wasn't he? You remember what he said? He said, let me go back and kiss my mother and my father goodbye and then I'll go with you. You know what Elisha was telling him? I'm going to forsake all to go and do what the Lord wants me to do. That's what he does. He kissed his mama goodbye, his daddy goodbye. He burnt part of the stuff. As a matter of fact, if you look over there, he killed one of the oxen and he didn't give it to people. They cooked it and give it to people. And then he follows after Elijah. You know, there's some hard sayings and some hard things to do to be a disciple of Christ. Think about people that God calls to be missionaries and sends them around the world. Think about that for just a second. Think about those that want to be on the mission field so bad because that's what God wants for their life. And you put a husband and a wife, maybe carrying kids, halfway around the world, but yet those two missionaries have forsook all. They've left their mother and their father. They've got their children with them, going around the world, and so... It didn't matter. They just wanted to go do what God wanted them to do. You know, if you look in starting in verse 28, coming down to verse 32, there is a cost to being a disciple. He's talking about counting the cost right there. How many of us count the cost in serving Christ? Do you know that if you want to stay separated out of this world and live a godly and righteous and holy life, not all your family is going to understand. Not all your friends are going to understand why you are the way you are. I mean, I already know I'm strange. I mean, listen, come this fall, Brother Caldwell's got a preacher's meeting going on up there in Maryville. And man, I mean, if everybody comes and said they're going to come, it's going to be a mess. And he said, Brother Mark, he said, I'm going to turn the lights off, let you shut the door, and the last man standing is who it's going to be. Amen. I mean, we're all strange. But do you realize that as disciples, as followers, and learners of Christ, there is a cost associated and then following Him? How do you know? Verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Bearing the cross. The cross, this is before Christ ever went to Calvary. But those disciples that he was talking to knew what the Roman Empire was all about and knew what crucifixion was all about. Bearing the cross, friend, was a type and a signification of one dying. We have to die to self and that to be able to follow Christ. Notice what he said. If any man hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, and then look what he said, yea, and his own life also. You got to give up you too. You got to give up you. And so we find that there is a call and that to follow. There's some hard things in being a disciple. You begin to study after Christ and follow Him and go after Him. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. But it is Christ that when we follow Him, that constrains us, that motivates us and directs us. You know, if you go to Matthew 14, Wednesday, I'm going to preach on this a little more here in a minute, but when you go to Matthew 14 and he's talking about his disciples getting on a ship, and the Bible said in straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. You know what the word constrained means? Y'all should. I've defined it many, many times preaching on that passage of Scripture. Constrain means to compel by force. To urge with irresistible power. Jesus, to put them on that ship, he done everything short of grabbing them around the chest and picking them up and putting them on the ship. That's compelling. And constraining. Said he constrained his disciples. Does the Lord not move on our heart from time to time? Does the Lord not instruct us and has He ever constrained you? He spoke to me many times, but how many times has He constrained us to want to do something? I mean, just almost with irresistible power, I got to go do this right here. I've been there a time or two. He will reveal Himself and that to us in being His disciple. You don't have to go to Matthew 13. I'll just read it. Brother Jeff taught this a couple weeks ago in Sunday school. The parable of the sower. If we look in Matthew 13, as I began reading verse 10, the disciples came. His disciples, so he's talking about, came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So God enlightens us along the way. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed. They have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see in your ears, for they shall hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Jesus was revealing things to his disciples. You know, a disciple follows after Christ. He counts the cost. He follows after Christ. Christ helps us, constrains us, moves us. I didn't even spend a lot of time on that. But he reveals himself to us. We will study this book and he will reveal this book. You ever had this book come alive? You ever had the words dance off the page? Yeah, I ain't kidding you, friend. I'm telling you, this thing come alive to you. And say, oh man, right there is what he meant when he was saying that. Or you say, hey, wait a minute, the Bible says back over here, and now it says right here, there's what that meant. Now we got it. Or you read it and you say, there's how I'm going to fix that problem right there. That's how I'm going to do that. He reveals himself. His disciples should bear fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, John 15. That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Disciples suffer as Christ did. He said, for if they do these things in a green tree, talking about crucifying him, what shall be done in the dry? If they do it while the tree's green, imagine what they're going to do when he's gone. You know, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John 13 said, we are to love one another, didn't he? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye love one another. There's a command to follow him as a disciple. There's a lot more to talk about there. But number three, and last of all, when Jesus passes by, not only does he have compassion, not only does he give a call to follow, but then there is a comfort. Take your Bible and look in Mark chapter 6. This is some of my most favorite scripture in the New Testament. In Mark chapter 6, now let me explain what's going on. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. That is very important. You say, how is that important? I'll show you here in a minute. He has just fed the 5,000. Well, look in verse 44. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. All right, we know that he's had what? Two fishes and five loaves. Is that right? Yep, five loaves and two fishes. Verse 38. So he feeds 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. If thing keeps going around here now, we're going to need them kind of miracles again, ain't we? Amen. Well, notice what it said in verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get in the ship. There that word is again, constrained them. To get in the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed in a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And at about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Bible said that he passed by them and would have passed by them, but something happened right here.
He come to give them comfort in the midst of their storm. Jesus actually put them in the boat, constrained them to get in the boat. He knew the storm was going to come. Y'all have heard me preach on this several times. He had just fed the 5,000, but yet according to verse 52, those men's heart had already been hardened and they didn't think about that. Now that's important here in just a second. I always love this portion of Scripture right here. They're in the boat, they're in the ship, and all of a sudden, the Bible said in verse 48, the wind was contrary to them, and it says that they were in the ship, he was alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing. Now you all know where I'm headed, but for you all that don't know, if you go over to John chapter 6, the Bible tells us that they were out in the middle of the Sea of Gennesaret. Listen to me now. This gets very important. They were some 3 to 3 1/4 miles off the seashore. The Bible also tells us that in the book of John that it was dark. How did he see them toiling in rowing? He's on the land. They're 3 miles out in the middle of the sea. He's on the land. It's dark. They could not see Jesus, but Jesus could see them. You say, how does that happen? I don't know how that happens, but I believe this book right here. I believe the very fact that when it is dark and stormy and the winds are contrary to us, we may not see Him, but He sees us. We may be off the seashore by some 3 and 1/4 miles away from Him, but He sees us. He never quits watching us. His eye is ever upon us. But then the Bible said that as He passed by, do you realize that it took a miracle for Him to get there? Think about that. It would have been a miracle if the sea had been smooth as glass and He walked on it. But it's not smooth as glass. The winds are in an uproar and in a turmoil, and they were contrary. And here Jesus comes walking in the midst of a storm. He performed a miracle to get there. How many of us have ever said, there's no hope for this situation? I wondered as I studied this and thought about this over the past week, I thought about Peter, James, and John being on that boat. Them boys were fishermen. They fished the Sea of Galilee before they met Christ. How many storms do you reckon they had got into out there on the Sea of Galilee? But here He comes. They were toiling and rowing. They could not get their ship to the seashore. How many times have we toiled and rowed and rowed and toiled and toiled and rowed and just could not get there? There was no way that we were going to be able to do it. We were sinking. There was nothing we could do. And by the way, the Bible said right here that what? And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them. That's the darkest part of the night. That's 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. The sun's fixing to come up at 6 a.m. He comes to them in the darkest part of their storm. How many of you have been glad when Jesus passed by? Let me ask you something. In the midst of your storm, you decided to come to church, and somebody got up and sung a song, and God just come by in your heart and just turned you upside down. Have you ever come and just needed some help? And boy, I mean the preacher just hammered on or politely laid it out to everybody you want to look at it and gave you what you needed because God already knew what you needed. Or maybe somebody testified. I think that's why it's important when God impresses you to testify, you need to go ahead and do it. It's one thing when you just want to praise the Lord. Man, have at it. Praise the Lord. Do it. But there's times that you know that God wants you to say something. And you know what? It may not be for you to say it, but it may be for somebody else to hear it. Because you don't know what kind of help you might be just fixing to be to somebody. So it took a miracle for him to get there. He's walking on the water, and he came in the darkest part of the night in the midst of the storm. And then the Bible said this, that he talked with them. He spoke to them. Ain't you glad when Jesus comes by and speaks to you? And here's what he said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." I'm glad when Jesus comes by, he speaks to us and gives us comfort in our heart tonight. You may need him to come by tonight, and I'm going to tell you, he will come by. And notice, he calmed the storm. He calmed the storm, and then he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased. He got up in the ship with them. He got on board with them. You know, I believe that's that time, if we go back. Is it in the book of Matthew where Peter said, "Lord"? Matter of fact, we sung on that tonight, didn't we? Peter said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come." And he said, "Come." And so Peter jumps out of the boat and takes off out through there. Peter was always rash, wasn't he? You know, after Peter met with the Lord on the Sea of Galilee, I believe that changed him some. You know, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." I believe that really changed Peter that day. I believe something happened to old Peter over there when God spoke to him, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. But notice right here, he gets on board with them and the storm ceases. You know, when we let the Lord handle things, He can cease the storms in our life. But you know what would have helped them boys more than anything? Well, I won't say more than anything, but you know what would have helped them? And I preached this one Wednesday night, probably about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. What did it say right here in verse 52? "For they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." They had forgot what he had already done. You know why some of us get in a storm sometime and we can't get out of it? Because we forget what he's done in the past. How many times, you know, you remember that? What was the title of that message? A boat full of doubt and 12 baskets full and a boat full of doubt, I believe is what it was. You know, they took up 12 baskets full, didn't they? Who do you think got them 12 baskets? Why 12? I believe them disciples carried them 12 baskets off. Where do you think they were when Jesus constrained them to put them on the boat? Where do you think them baskets went? Well, they went in the boat with them. Them boys was out there toiling and rowing with 12 basketfuls, looking at it and forgetting that he had just done that just a few minutes ago. How many of us are guilty of forgetting what he's done in the past for us? If he has done it in the past, why won't he do it again? If he's kept us and calmed our storm in the past, if he's done a miracle in the past, why would he not do it for us again? When Jesus passes by, he finds compassion to save people. He calls folk to follow, and then he comforts folk in the midst of their storm. I'm glad that when we're in the midst of the storm, Jesus can help us and he can take care of us. Just bow our heads tonight.